I'm Carrie Nolan. It's Monday, August 30th, and time for WQXR's Washington Report Online. David Sanger joins us every week. He's the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. Good morning, David.
Morning, Carrie.
David, Middle East peace talks begin again this week with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas coming to Washington. This is the ninth attempt since the 1993 Oslo Accords. Is there any reason to hope this time will be different?
Well, there is some reason to hope that, Carrie. I mean, first of all, the Obama folks, I think, all admit they did a pretty poor job of this their first year, and they let a lot of issues get away from them. But as it turns out, time may have been on their side. I mean, think about what's changed. Violence is down quite dramatically in the region. The settlements that became the big issue when Vice President Biden visited in March have slowed. There have been hardly any new housing projects in East Jerusalem. Now, if in fact those resume, this whole process could blow up. But for now, that issue seems to be at least in the background. Both publics, the Palestinian public and the Israeli public, seem to have significant majorities that support a two-state solution. And, you know, they're all exhausted by this whole process, as we all are. And as you said, it's been 17 years since the Oslo Accords, and so we know what a final status negotiation would look like. We're going to have to go back to the agreements that nearly came together at Camp David 10 years ago this month. You need to update them with better border controls and probably a big third-party force in the Jordan Valley. That's workable. The problem here, as always, is that there'll be forces on both sides trying to blow this whole effort up, and I think the big test for President Obama, who's somewhat new to this, is whether he can keep that on track when there are inevitable incidents that will seek to derail it.
Do you think either side in these discussions will yield on the settlement issue?
Well, they may not yield on the principle of it, but the question is, do they yield on the practice? I mean, in the case of Prime Minister Netanyahu, he obviously has huge pressures at home not to give up the right to be putting together these settlements until there's a final status agreement. What he may be persuaded to do is to effectively freeze them, even if he has not declared as a matter of principle that he's freezing them. And that's where the big battle is going to take place within his own party.
Let's turn to some domestic news. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke announced on Friday that he would use additional tools to prevent another recession. This came a day after the second quarter's mediocre GDP figures were released. But the Fed has already reduced interest rates. I mean, what more can Bernanke do?
Well, there are four things that the Fed could do at this point. It could purchase more government debt and more long-term securities. And Bernanke made it pretty clear that they plan to go do that. And that has a similar effect to lowering interest rates, although a somewhat harder to control effect. It could try to coax down the long-term interest rates by announcing that it intends to keep short-term rates very low for even longer than the markets currently expect. He didn't say anything on that. Then there are two things that he sort of took off the table. It could lower the interest rate that it pays on the funds that banks hold at the Fed, and it could raise its medium-range target for inflation. And that would discourage the banks from sitting on their cash. He pretty much ruled those two out. So I think that what's most likely at this point is you're going to see the Fed do what it did a year and a half ago. It's going to go on a buying binge of government debt and these long-term securities.
How did Wall Street respond to Bernanke's announcement?
Well, they responded fairly well, but, you know, these are temporary blips, and I think the question becomes whether or not he can reverse the psychology that has many fear that we are could be headed into one of those deflationary cycles. You get into one of those cycles, it's very hard to break out of it. That's what he is most fearful of and what he said he did not think would happen this time.
Anything else brewing in Washington as we lead up to Labor Day?
Well, people are actually wandering back into the city. You're going to see President Obama dive right back into this now with the back-to-back of the Mideast talks and then a speech to the nation about the end of combat operations in Iraq. And that's going to be a tricky speech because there is the fear, of course, that the place turns into political paralysis now, and we're all going to ask the question, so what did this accomplish?
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you, Carrie.
New York Times chief Washington correspondent David Sanger. I'm Carrie Nolan, and that's the Washington Report on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR.